ABC Radio Australia.
Well, meanwhile, electric vehicles are somewhat the talk of the town here in Australia, with the Labor opposition party hatching a plan to make sure that 50% of all new car sales will be electric by the year 2030. It's one of its election policies. Now, it's aimed at rejuvenating the Australian car industry while also battling climate change. It's based on tax incentives for businesses and also a $1 billion research and development grant fund. While imported secondhand petrol and diesel vehicles dominate the Pacific Islands roads now, there are some who are confident about the possibilities of electric in the region as well. And they say that could be an important part of the region's move towards the UN's nationally determined contributions to fighting climate change. Nick Fogarty has this story.
Jump in my car.
It's a way to tackle climate change, but a lot of people didn't want to start driving electric because there are a lot of prejudices. People think they're not reliable or you cannot cover long distances.
Dutch adventurer Wiebe Wakker has been driving a 10-year-old electric car from Amsterdam across 33 countries to Australia just to prove it can be done. He's still going, charging his vehicle mostly through domestic power sockets and the odd charging station, where he can find them mostly in Queensland or Western Australia. In 2016, just 0.1% of all new car sales in Australia were electric, which is one of the smallest rates in the developed world. Labor opposition leader Bill Shorten hopes to change that, floating a policy with the joint aims of fighting climate change and reinvigorating the country's car manufacturing industry.
I would like to see us make electric cars in Australia, because Australians are top-class manufacturers when you've got a government who gets behind them.
Electric and hybrid vehicles naturally give off fewer carbon emissions and burn less of the world's dwindling supply of fossil fuels. But how do Pacific Island nations fit into this, as a region that emits a tiny fraction of the world's greenhouse gases but is set to suffer the worst effects of climate change?
We do not have many electric vehicles in this part of the world at the moment, but we are developing solar charging stations and we are testing them out.
Dr. Atul Raturi is a renewable energy expert at Fiji's University of the South Pacific. Prompted by concerns about climate change and the Pacific Islands' reliance on fossil fuels, especially for transportation, he's been part of a team that's looked at the feasibility of electric vehicles in urban areas and tourist resorts.
Now, hopefully in the coming days and coming months, we would have electric vehicles coming in, especially the smaller ones. So we are trying to promote smaller three-wheelers for short distances, because most of the Pacific Island countries outside Fiji, distances are not that large, and smaller vehicles could be very, very useful.
Fiji's government appears to be on the electric bandwagon itself, with the introduction of several incentives in its 2018-2019 budget. These include a 55% capital deduction for any purchase of an electric vehicle and a 7-year income tax exemption for any business setting up EV charging stations, provided they invest more than $500,000. It's a key plank in the country's nationally determined contributions to fighting climate change, with the overarching goal of having Fiji run entirely on renewable energy by 2030. Other Pacific nations, including PNG and Vanuatu, have set the same target, while Samoa is even more ambitious, aiming to be 100% renewable by 2021. Petrol and diesel cars still dominate these countries' roads, but given their reliance on imported second-hand vehicles, that could change as near neighbours like Australia and Japan move towards electric. Vijay Jasmani runs Sai Motors, one of a number of second-hand Japanese car dealerships in Samoa's capital Apia. He says he has doubts about the feasibility of electric cars in Samoa.
No, I don't think so it will work.
Samoa's transport minister was criticised after introducing a law in 2017 that banned the importation of cars that are more than 8 years old, with some people saying modern cars would be more expensive and harder to repair. The law stands, though, and the mix of cars on the roads of countries like Samoa will continue to be dictated by what's rolling off the production lines in Japan and potentially Australia. But Vijay Jasmani says there'd need to be a big influx of skills and infrastructure into the Pacific to support the widespread use of electric or even hybrid vehicles.
But if that car comes on, they have to bring a nice workshops here so they can fix the cars easily, you know, especially from New Zealand. Many professional guys are there in New Zealand who can fix this type of cars easily.
Samoa's transport department couldn't yet be reached for its thoughts on the future of the country's car import and maintenance sectors. But for renewable energy expert Atul Raturi, the future looks bright.
I can visualize in 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, you know, most of the countries would be able to produce their own electricity and hence could run most of their economy. So exciting days ahead. Jump in my car.